The world has written a narrative of motherhood that's narrow and limiting. But that's not how motherhood was designed to be. We don't have to accept that narrative or stay in that confined space. As Christian mothers, we have the freedom to create a beautiful, fulfilling, and inspiring life for ourselves and for our families. We can live a life of purpose and vision in the midst of the confusion around us. I want you to move from being unsure to being confident as a mom. I want to see you let go of the overwhelm and guilt and embrace the freedom we have in Christ. Let's learn how to enjoy the life and the family we've been given. Let's create homes where faith can grow and hearts can be shaped for the kingdom. I'm Audrey McCracken, and welcome to Grace for My Home. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Grace for My Home. I hope that you are doing great this week. I'm so glad to be back here with you guys this week. I've gotten where I really look forward to our times together, and I'm thinking through the week, you know, what am I going to share? What would be an encouragement this week for those who are listening? And I'd mentioned last week that it seems like every time I share something, and it's not just with the podcast, it's, you know, with other things, because I teach at church and do other things too. It seems like almost every time I share something, I get tested in that area. And I really do think it's a God thing. I think God does that, you know, because He wants us to be for real, right? He wants it not just to be a head knowledge, but heart knowledge, and actually part of the life that we live. Because we impart who we are. You know, we may teach what we know, but we impart to people who we actually are. And I don't want to come to you and, you know, pretend to be something that I'm not. I really want to encourage you with what God has done and has done and is doing in my heart. And last week I spoke with you guys about how to say no gracefully, and how to make room for the things that matter by saying no to the things that don't. You know, being intentional about our assignment. What has God called me to do here now at this time? And I was tested in that this week because I looked at my calendar and I looked at the things that I'm responsible for, and I had a few moments of overwhelm, and I thought, how am I going to do all this well? You know, maybe I can get it all done, but I don't know that I can do it well. And, you know, I even told my husband, Michael, please pray for me because I feel overwhelmed. And I said, Lord, you know, I just spoke on this. I just encouraged all the ladies who listen to my podcast not to take on more than they can do well, or they feel like they can do with, you know, with and keep their sanity at the same time. And then I went to the Lord in prayer, and, you know, I didn't feel like I had time to pray because I had so much to do. Do you ever feel like that? It's like, you know, you're supposed to pray, but I, you know, if I'm praying, I'm not doing right. But I have found that if I can just get in there and talk with Him, things look different. You know, it's like the burden, the clouds part, and things look different. And so, you know, as I went to the Lord and I was talking to the Lord, it was like, I remember, Lord, before I took this on, I asked You, and You said yes. And before I took on this, You said yes. So I don't feel like there's anything that I'm doing here that You didn't call me to do. So if this is what You've called me to do, You've got to give me grace to do it. Because in the last 9 months, you know, I've taken on some bigger projects, some things that I've, you know, I've always wanted to do, but never felt like I had time to do. But as my older boys have gone on to public school, and I'm just homeschooling one now, I have some more extra time. And so I committed to some things, you know, this podcast being one, but I had to retrace my steps and say, Lord, I feel like this is what You asked me to do. So if this is what You've asked me to do, I know there's grace to do it. And that's true for all things that He calls us to do. You know, where God guides, He provides. So that encouraged me, you know, and when I came out of my prayer closet, I mean, it was like, okay, I still have the same amount of stuff to do, but I feel like God's with me. You know, I feel like, you know, he understands. I've cast my cares on him because he cares for me. And so, you know, prayer is amazing like that, isn't it? But I wanted to share with you this week, what's been on my heart this week is I want to talk with you about bringing things into order in our homes and, you know, setting up order, because I think that's an important part of what we do as moms. And I think sometimes we just do it naturally. You know, we don't think about it. We just do it. But it is so important. And I think sometimes if we knew that this was our job, then we would see it through a new light. And, you know, what I mean is, you know, we as moms, we are the heart of our homes. You know, we're the ones who love. We're the ones who care. We're the ones who plan. You know, we're the ones who take a house and turn it into a home. And, you know, we make sure that things are running smooth. And, you know, our heart is attached to the hearts of those who live in that house. And it's such an important job. But sometimes we can be so overwhelmed. And we have to learn how to take the chaos that's around us and bring it into order so that we can live in peace and our kids and our husbands and our families and whoever lives under our roof with us can live in peace. Because you know as well as I do that as the mama goes, the whole house goes. If we're upset and anxious and worried, the whole house feels it. Everybody knows it and feels it. But if we're at peace, you know, and we're walking in faith and, you know, we're knocking it out and we're saying, okay, we're going to do this. You know, we're going to enjoy this life. We're not just going to endure it. Then there's a calm that comes through the whole house and everybody feels it. So how do we get to that place? How do we walk consistently in that place of order where it's not chaos? Well, you're never going to arrive. So is that disappointing? I mean, you're never going to get to the point where it's over. Like you've accomplished it. You can check that off the list. It is a constant cycle because that is life. And sometimes it's like we feel like if we can just get to this place, everything will be okay. But I want to tell you, when you get to that place, there'll be another place and then there'll be another place. So it's really more about developing systems that serve us and that help us to put things in order when they get out of place. You know, what made me start thinking about this, I was reading a book with my youngest son, Caleb, this week. He's my only homeschool student left. And I'm reading a book for the third time because I've read it with all of my boys as I've homeschooled them. And it's called It Couldn't Just Happen. It's by Lawrence O. Richards. It's called It Couldn't Just Happen, Knowing the Truth About God's Awesome Creation. And it's such a good book. You know, it's a good book when I'm on my third time reading it and I'm learning new things, either things I forgot or I missed the first time. And when you put it down, it's still in your mind. You're still thinking about it because it has so many interesting ideas. And what he's talking about in this book is just the amazing creation that God has made. He has created this world, the universe, the galaxies, our solar system, our world, our bodies, all of this creation. And it's so intricately woven. And he paid such attention to detail that there is no way when you dig into it, when you dig into the science, that you could assume or just think it just happened. You know, God is so awesome and he has made us. What did he say in the Psalms? That we are beautifully made. We are intricately made. And he has so made us that when we realize just how awesome our minds and our bodies and this earth is, that we know it couldn't just happen. But the chapter that I'm reading with Caleb right now, it talks about the second law of thermodynamics. Now, don't let me lose you there, okay? I know that sounds very, very technical there, but all it means is that all things tend to move towards disorder. See, everything that is structured and has an order to it, without constant attention, it goes to disorder. And every mama out there can say amen to that. Every mama listening knows the second law of thermodynamics, right? You clean the kitchen and it doesn't stay that way, right? You clean the house, and the only way to make it stay that way is to just lock everybody out, right? But even then, it's going to get dusty, right? There's no way it's going to stay clean. And that's just life. There is a law. If you think it's you, if you think, you know, it's just your house, it's not. It is the law of the universe. It is a law of the universe that everything that's ordered is going to go to disorder. And we as mamas, it's part of our job is to bring it back into order. Because when we create homes, part of our job is to create a place of order so that our children can grow well. You know, we're giving them the gift of a home. We're giving them the gift of a place of sanctuary, right? A place where we can find our stuff, right? A place where we can rest, a place where we can enjoy each other and we can learn and love each other and grow. That is the gift that you're giving your children, is you're creating a home where they can grow in faith and they can grow, where they can grow spiritually and they can grow mentally and physically and emotionally. And it's a good thing, but it requires constant work. It requires constantly taking things out of order and putting them in order. And that is part of our job description. You know, I think about the Garden of Eden, and I just love the thought of the Garden of Eden. And I know, guys, I know we don't live in Eden. I mean, we live in the fallen place, right? But the Garden of Eden, it was like God created this whole world. But then he created a special place for the first family, for his masterpiece in creation, right? We were his masterpiece. He created the entire universe and galaxies and planets and stars. And then he created man. And unlike all of the rest of creation, he breathed his breath into us, and man became a living soul. And so he created a beautiful place for man. And think about it. A garden is not like the woods, right? Where there's a tree here and then there's a tree here because that's where the seed fell. And then there's, you know, bushes here. A garden is ordered. There's a structure. It's not chaos. There's a plan. You plan your garden, right? Now, my mom is in the middle of planting her garden right now. She's marking off her rows. You know, she's making it orderly because that's how things grow best, when there's order. And so God creates this beautiful garden. You know, it says there was four rivers that flowed through that garden. It was well watered. I just imagine it was beautiful. And that's where he planted. That's where he placed his first family. And he told them to take care of it. But he also gave them a mandate in Genesis. And I just want to read that to you. It says in Genesis 1:28, he told this to the man and the woman. He said, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." So God gave them dominion. This is the world that I am giving you to take care of. And subdue it. Now, subdue means to put it into order. It means to bring it under the authority of the one who is over it. And so the garden was already subdued. I believe he's telling them, He has shown them this beautiful place. I think he has shown them what is possible. And they've been placed in this beautiful place where there's beauty and there's provision and there's everything you need to grow well. And I think he is saying, go out there and make it like this garden. You know, make it beautiful. Make it, you know, subdue it. Bring order to it. And that was what we were to do, right? We were supposed to go out and make the rest of the world a place where people could live, people could dwell, people could know God. And God came to that garden and spent time with them there. So he was telling them, this is your mandate. You go out and you subdue this earth. And the garden, I believe, was their standard. This is what beauty looks like. This is what order looks like. And when I think about my home, I think, Lord, this is my little garden. You know, this is the place where, you know, my kids are learning what the world's like. They're learning what love is. They're learning what truth is. They're learning who God is. They're learning what are we here for. You have such an awesome responsibility and privilege in that you're creating a place where hearts can grow, where minds can grow, where your children can learn truth in a protected place. Now, I'm not like some people who think that, you know, we're supposed to protect our children from the world. I don't believe that. I believe we are to protect them while they're young and prepare them for going into the world. When they're young, they're not ready for the world, right? But they're learning what truth is. They're learning what beauty is. They're learning what order looks and feels like. They're learning why they're here. You know, why are we even here? What's this all about? Well, that, as a mom, that's our privilege to be able to teach our children that. And so home is our incubator, right? You know, I grew up on a farm. My dad was a farmer. There are some plants that you don't just set out in the world. There are some plants that you have to grow from seedlings in a greenhouse or in a controlled environment until they're strong enough to weather outside of the greenhouse. Now, they're not made to live in the greenhouse. That's just for the time being. That's why they're getting stronger. And I believe our kids are like that. I believe that our homes are places where they can learn and grow and get stronger so that one day they leave our homes and they're transplanted into the world. But they're strong enough to survive the storms and the things that are going to happen that we're not going to be able to protect them from. We have this time with them. And our homes is like that well-watered garden, or I should say our homes can be like that well-watered garden where we are teaching them this is possible. This is what God has made possible for us. Now go into the world and make it so. And I love that analogy. And I try to live by that analogy. But you know, nothing is ever picture perfect. But but if I can see the ideal, right? I may not be able to live up to the ideal, but if I can see it, it gives me a place to aim, you know, it gives me a purpose. And so I encourage you to see your home as the place where your children are learning what life could be like. They're learning what love feels like, what love could be like. They're learning what truth is. They're learning why they're here. And one day they're going to go out in the world. They're not just going to survive, but they're going to thrive. Now, what does that look like today? What does that look like right now? Well, if I could walk you through my home right now, you probably would not think there's order there. You'd probably think, why am I listening to her? Why am I taking advice from this woman? Because I have a chair and it is piled high with clothes. Now, those clothes are clean, but they've not been folded. Okay. In my bedroom, on my bed, I have my purse and I cleaned out my purse. So my purse is clean, but right beside it is all the stuff that I took out of my purse. And so it looks like a bomb exploded on my bed because I hadn't put that stuff up. Now, if you look in my kitchen, you will see where I cooked lunch. And I had to hurry up in here and record with you guys because soon I'm going to have a house full of people. And I thought, if I don't get in there and record, then it won't happen later. So all that stuff is still on the counter. and it looks like chaos. But I have a system. I have systems to help me get it back in order. And the whole point of the system isn't to keep everything pristine or perfect. It's just so that we can bring things back in order enough that we can enjoy our home together. Does that make sense? The purpose is not perfection. The goal is not perfection. It's enough structure that we can have a home that functions so we can enjoy the life that we've been given. See, if everything was about perfection, and I used to think it was, if everything is about having a pristine, perfect home, then we will always be disappointed because it will never stay that way, because it always goes from order to chaos. And I used to think there was something, you know, something I could do to keep it perfect. But besides running around all day long like a chicken with my head cut off, there's nothing I could do. You know, several years ago, when all three of my boys were home, I read a story to them, and it was just a treasure. I picked it up. I'd never heard of it. Somebody online had recommended it. It was a story called Just David, and it's by Eleanor Porter, Eleanor H. Porter, and it's a book called Just David. If you've not read it, I so encourage you to find that book and read it. Read it with your kids. Read it just yourself. You will not regret it. Eleanor Porter, just for you who have ever heard of Pollyanna, she wrote Pollyanna, but she also wrote this lesser known book named Just David, and she wrote it in 1916. So it's an older book, but there's a quote in that book that when I read it, and I read it with my kids, so I had to go back because it so touched me. I read this quote and I had to go get that quote. But this is the quote. It says, and it's about a young boy who has lost his father, and him and his father lived by themselves out on a mountain in the woods, and his father taught him to love nature and to love beautiful things. But his father dies, and so he's never been around society. He's only known his dad, only other person he's ever been around. So he comes into society, and this was his impression of women. He says, and the women, they were even more incomprehensible. They spent the long hours behind screen doors and windows, washing the same dishes, sweeping the same floors day after day. They, too, never raised their eyes to the blue sky outside, nor even to the crimson roses that peeped in at the window. They seemed rather to be looking always for dirt, yet not pleased when they found it, especially if it had been tracked in on the feet of a small boy's shoe. And when I read that, I saw myself. I thought, that is so true. You know, we're constantly looking for dirt. But when we find it, we're not pleased, especially when it's tracked in on the heel of a small boy's shoe. And having three boys, I understand that. One of the points of this book is that there's beauty all around us. It's just we're not looking for it. You know, we're looking for the dirt. We got our eyes down when we need to have our eyes up. And so systems are really helpful to bring things into order. But once they're in order, the point is to enjoy the life that we've been given. And I found that for me, systems, I didn't think I could follow a system because I tried to make them so complicated. You know, I thought it had to be this really complicated system. But a system is a way of bringing life into order so you can enjoy life. So you're not always constantly thinking about the system. And what I mean by that, there seems to be areas, and I think this is true in all homes, but there seems to be areas that are constantly needing help. You know, for me, it's the laundry, the food, and my calendar. Those are areas that if I don't watch them, they will run away quickly. You know, everybody wants to eat 3 meals a day. It seems like I'm constantly cooking. So if I don't have a plan, that can make me want to pull my hair out. Same thing with the clothes. People want clean clothes. My boys play sports, and it's constantly, is this clean? Is that clean? And that somehow is all my job. You know, I'm teaching my boys, but it still falls on me, right? And so I have found that just having simple systems gives me enough structure that that's not constantly what I'm thinking about. Now, I told you about the clothes, the mound of clothes that's on my chair. But see, my system is every day I wash one load of clothes. Some days two, but at least one a day. And see, that may not even sound like a system to you. That's just so simple. But years ago, I picked up a book that was, I was trying to get my act together, right? And I picked up this book and it talked about, you know, developing these systems for your home. And it was like, you know, on Mondays we do whites, and on Tuesdays we do, you know, sheets, and on Thursdays we do colors. And that thing was so overwhelming to me. You know, I was going to put this system in my house because I was going to have, you know, order, and I didn't have order. I couldn't remember what to do. I couldn't remember what day it was, you know, and so I felt like a failure because I couldn't keep up with the system. But see, that wasn't the system I needed. I don't want a system for a system's sake. I want a system to make things easier so I can enjoy my life. And so I have found that my system is one load a day. That's it. If the whites are taller than the colors, then it's whites today. They win and they get washed. And before bedtime, those clothes on my chair, hopefully they'll be folded and put away. But I know it's going to happen because that's my routine. And at this moment, it doesn't look like there's order, but there's order because there's a system. Same thing with food. You know, for years I tried things that just, you know, I felt like an elaborate system would have to obviously be better, right? Well, it's not. It's more work. For me, I just have to keep it simple. I have, for years, I've kept in my cabinet a list of easy meals that I can make with very few ingredients, and it's done. Now, I like trying new things. I like trying new recipes. But when things are busy, I have a list of very simple things that I can get done quickly without stress. Now, I've been able to add things to my list. I've, you know, now for several times throughout the years, I have signed up for emails, which I really enjoy. I like that because each week I get simple recipes that come to me. And I like that because if we're doing a special diet, like, you know, if my husband is wanting to eat low calorie, they have a low calorie plan. If they have a crock pot plan. And so, you know, I like that. I enjoy that. It kind of mixes things up. I get bored with the same things, but having a list of what I can do quick, that just helps me. I try each week to buy groceries on the same day. I do the Walmart pickup. And I'm so thankful for that. That is just like a gift from above, the Walmart pickup, because I just pull up and get my food and I'm on my way. But see, these are my systems. They may not fit you, and that's okay. But my encouragement to you is to find something for you that works and keep it simple so you can work it. Now, if you enjoy elaborate systems and that's fun for you, then that's great. But I enjoy spending time with my family. I enjoy having energy to do things that I want to do, you know, and I want to keep the house moving so that we don't break down because, you know, if your house isn't in order, then it's hard to enjoy being home because it's stressful. And that's the point of having order, you know, is that that you don't have the stress of, you know, not knowing where things are or not getting where we're supposed to be, or, you know, that's stressful. I don't want to live on that side of the spectrum, but I don't have to have things so organized that I'm living for the system. So I hope that helps. We can find systems that work for us. We can subdue it, right? We can do what God told Adam and Eve to do, you know, take this world and make it work, you know, make it better. And guys, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm just talking about making things better, you know, and believing that you have the ability and the free agency to make things better, you know, even if they aren't perfect. What if you tweaked things and you made them, I don't know, 5% better this week? Well, wouldn't that be worth it? If you did a small change in something and things got 5 or 10% better this week, you know, and who's to judge, right? You're the only one that's going to be able to judge that if it's better. But I have found that the more peace that I can bring to my home, then the more restful I am, the better mood I'm in. And that just kind of cascades down to the whole family because we set the tone. You know, life is to be enjoyed and not just endured. But you can't enjoy it if there's no order, if there's no structure. And then you can do the things that matter. You know, if everything is in order, you know, if everything is in order, then I can sit down. If I have a system for food, for groceries, for, you know, eating, then I can sit down with my family and enjoy a meal. I'm not stressing about it, you know, and during that time, we can talk about things. You know, we talk about what happened during the day. You know, we can bond, we can spend that time together. And that's what's important to me. It's not that the food is perfect. It's that we were able to enjoy it because we had peace. And, you know, the same thing with the clothes. You know, it's not that everything has to be perfect. It's just, it's when it's time for bed and we got PJs that are clean. It's not the fact that everything in the clothes, everything in the house is ironed and straight. It's the fact that in the morning when we're trying to get out of the house that we have something to put on and we're not stressing because something's not clean that we need. And that just adds stress. Making order means that you make time for the things that matter. You know, you're not looking for the dirt. You know, you're looking at your children. So I encourage you to commit. If you don't have systems, if you don't have plans, if you don't have something that works for you, if you've always felt overwhelmed by the stuff, then, you know, commit to making things a little better. You know, what can I do? What's a little thing I can do this week to make things a little better? And you'll be so glad you did. You can take the chaos around you and bring it into order. And it's not something, like I said, it's not one and done. It's a constant cycle. It's what we do as moms. And when you make some space, don't fill that new place with something more, with another obligation or another chore. Enjoy your family. Take an extra minute to be with them, to sit down, because we can have that martyr mentality where I'm a good mom because I'm busy and I'm working all the time, but they don't get to know you, right? You're not able to share with them the things you want to share with them because you're too busy. And I don't want to be that mom anymore. I've been that mom. I love that mom. You know, she didn't know. She was trying. If I hadn't have gone through that, I wouldn't, you know, be where I am today. But I like where I am today better because I know that it's my job to put things in order, but I don't live to clean. I don't live to make things perfect. I live to enjoy the life I've been given. So I want to encourage you guys, if you have not connected with me on Facebook or Instagram, please do so. I'm in both of those places and I post things periodically. Also, I have a weekly newsletter that I send out. And if you want to receive that, go to my blog, go to graceformyhome.com and subscribe. And I will send that out to you. And let me know you're listening. If you're out there, you know, leave me a review for my podcast, send me an email, just say, hey, I'm listening. I'd love to hear from you. Everyone who contacts me, you know, I try to pray for them, keep up with them. And it's so nice to put a face and a name with someone who I know is listening each week, because I think about you guys. I'd like to say a prayer for you today before we go. Lord, I thank you for my sisters out there who are doing the work, who are believing, and Lord, who are trying, and Lord God, who are growing. And I pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom, that, Lord, you would give them, Lord God, the joy of the Lord that is their strength, that, Lord, you would show them new ways, that you'd help them to let go of things that have been burdens, that, Lord, they feel like it has to be this way or it has to be perfect. God, help them to grow and not feel like they're losing if it's not perfect. And, Lord, we just let go of perfectionism today, and we embrace the life you've given us, Lord, and help us to enjoy our little ones, Lord. And look into their eyes and really see them this week. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you've enjoyed this episode today and will join me here again next week. You can find more encouragement on my blog at gracefromahome.com. God bless. Bye-bye.